Brand magic is not a feeling, it is not luck, and it is not the exclusive property of companies with enormous marketing budgets. It is the accumulated result of a brand making the same promises to the same people in the same way, consistently enough and long enough that the audience starts to depend on it. The dependency is the magic. When a brand becomes the thing someone reaches for without thinking, not because it is the only option, not because it is the cheapest, but because it is the one that feels right in a way they cannot fully articulate, that is brand magic. And that feeling, that unreasoned loyalty, is the most commercially valuable thing a brand can build. It is also the thing most brands throw away without noticing. Starbucks lost $21.9 billion in brand value in 2025. Not in a decade. In a year, it dropped from number 15 to number 45 in global brand value rankings in the same period. The coffee did not change. The stores did not close. The company did not do anything catastrophically wrong. What happened was subtler and more instructive. Starbucks spent years optimizing the experience for efficiency, mobile ordering, drive-throughs, faster throughput, reduced in-store dwell time, and in doing so, quietly dismantled the thing it had spent 30 years building, the third place. The brand was not selling coffee. It was selling somewhere to be that was not home and not work. The moment it started optimizing that away, in the name of operational efficiency, the magic began leaving. By the time the numbers reflected it, the damage was already years deep. Magic does not leave overnight. This is the most important thing to understand about brands losing their magic. It is almost never sudden. The data appears suddenly. The headlines appear suddenly. The stock price drops suddenly. But the decisions that caused the damage were made quietly, incrementally, over years, by people who were solving real short-term problems without understanding the long-term cost. Nike's brand value dropped from $47.9 billion in 2023 to $33.7 billion in 2025. A $14.2 billion loss in 2 years. Nike did not make one catastrophic mistake. It made a series of reasonable-looking decisions, pulling back from wholesale partners to push direct to consumer, over-relying on retro franchises like Air Force One and Dunk, and pulling back on sports performance marketing in favor of lifestyle positioning. Each one made sense in isolation. Collectively, they told a generation of athletes that Nike had stopped being their brand. Meanwhile, Adidas, which had spent years in Nike's shadow, grew brand revenue 13% by doing the opposite, going deeper into sport, staying specific, staying clear. By the time Nike's numbers showed the problem, Adidas had already taken the ground. Harley-Davidson sold 12% fewer new motorcycles in 2026 than the year before. The brand's core audience is aging out of motorcycles. The younger audiences it needs are not coming in to replace them. Harley has been aware of this demographic cliff for years and has spent years trying to solve it. Electric bikes, smaller displacement models, lifestyle campaigns aimed at younger riders. None of it has worked at scale because the product changes came without a positioning change. The brand still communicates rebellion, freedom, and outlaw identity in the same register it always has, but that register now reads as cosplay instead of conviction to a generation that did not grow up with Easy Rider. The magic was built for an audience that is literally dying. The brand never found a way to transfer it. what magic is actually made of. Brand magic is not the product. It is not the advertising. It is not the logo or the color palette or the tagline. All of those things are expressions of something more fundamental, defensible position in the audience's world that the brand has earned through consistent behavior over time. When Starbucks built its magic, the position was the third place. Every decision the company made for 20 years reinforced that position. The store design, the music, the staff training, the naming of drinks, the policy of letting people sit for hours. All of it served the same idea. The brand was not selling a product. It was selling a place to be. And every operational and marketing decision was measured against whether it made that place feel more or less like what it promised. When brands lose their magic, they stop measuring decisions against the position. They start measuring decisions against short-term metrics, quarterly revenue, operational efficiency, market share in adjacent categories, brand sentiment scores from surveys nobody uses, and the position erodes because nobody is defending it. Not loudly, not all at once, just quietly, one compromise at a time, until the audience looks up and notices that the brand no longer feels like the thing they chose it for. The most dangerous version of this erosion is the one driven by growth. A brand builds magic in a certain category with an isolated audience. The magic creates revenue. The revenue attracts investors. The investors want growth. Growth means new audiences, new categories, new channels, new products. Each expansion decision dilutes the position slightly. A position that means everything to everyone means nothing to anyone. The brand chases scale and loses its edge, and the magic follows that edge out the door. The brands that keep it. The brands that maintain their magic for decades share one trait that is not especially glamorous. They are boring in their consistency. They make the same promises in the same way to the same people for long enough that the promises become expectations, and the expectations become dependency, and the dependency becomes magic. Patagonia has been the brand for people who believe environmental responsibility should be non-negotiable since 1973. It has never chased a different audience. It has never softened its position to grow faster. It gave away its company to fight climate change. Every decision it has made for 50 years has either reinforced or been measured against the same central idea. Brand Finance tracks it as one of the most consistent gainers in brand equity year over year, not because it markets brilliantly, but because it never stops meaning what it always meant. Levi's has been through bankruptcy, declining relevance, and a dozen fashion cycles. It still exists, still matters, and still commands a price premium over every private label denim brand that should theoretically be eating its lunch. Why? Because Levi's does not try to be the most fashionable denim brand or the most affordable one or the most technically advanced one. It tries to be the authentic one, the original, the one that was here before every trend and will be here after. That is a defensible position. It is also a boring one, and boring is what survives. The early warning signs. Brand magic does not disappear without warning. It sends signals for months or years before the metrics confirm the diagnosis. The problem is that most brand teams are not watching for the right signals. The first sign is when the brand starts describing itself using words that could apply to any brand in the category. Fresh thinking. Customer-centric. High quality, committed to excellence. Generic language is a symptom of generic thinking, and generic thinking is what happens when a brand has lost confidence in its position and started trying to be palatable to everyone. The second sign is when the brand's internal decisions stop being made in reference to the position. When the marketing team is writing copy that sounds different from the customer service team's scripts, which sound different from the product team's announcements, the position has stopped functioning as the governing idea and started functioning as something that lives in a document nobody reads. The third sign is when the core audience starts feeling like they are being grown out of, not abandoned dramatically, just quietly deprioritized. The product changes stop being for them. The advertising stops featuring them. The brand starts reaching for a younger or larger or more aspirational audience, and the people who made the brand what it is feel the shift before anyone says it out loud. By the time any of those signals appear in quarterly reports, the magic has already been leaking for months. The question is whether anyone in the building is paying enough attention to catch it. Most brands are not, and the ones that are not are the ones that become case studies. If you want to know where your brand's magic is going before it is gone, that is the conversation I would start today. You know where to find me. From yours truly, Josh Pears, thanks for listening. Find more about me at joshpears.com.